Welcome to Focus with Angela Duncan, where we focus on growing deeper in our walks with the Lord by focusing on God's love, God's heart, and the truth of His Word. I'm your host, Angela Duncan. Thank you to all our listeners who tune in each week on Fishbowl Radio Network, the number one internet radio station, broadcasting live from Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas. Here are the top 10 countries that tuned into Focused: United States, Canada, Mexico, United Kingdom, Germany, Philippines, Argentina, Japan, Ethiopia, and India. Thank you so much to all those countries for tuning in to Focused each week. You can find me on Facebook under the group name Focus with Angela Duncan, or on podcast under Focus with Angela Duncan as well. Please go and subscribe. Our goal at Focused is to uplift, encourage, and inspire you by providing you with Christ-centered content that is authentic, informative, and relevant. All right, guys, joining me in the studio today for the second time is Dr. Stanley Farrell. He is back for part two of The Original Purpose, our discussion on The Original Purpose.
Yes.
I'm so excited to have you back. We were talking before we went live, and man, just a jam-packed word, and I'm so excited. I think the listeners are going to get a lot of good information that's going to really help them.
Amen.
When you were here last time, you taught on The Original Purpose. So for those that may not have heard or don't remember or just want some clarification, let's clarify again. What is The Original Purpose?
Oh, man, I tell you, that's a loaded question.
It is.
And, you know, we could close that out with that one, but we won't.
Just that alone.
And, you know, so what I would do is, you know, for those who got to have text and context and whatnot. So just simply, Genesis chapter 1. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to connect that with another New Testament scripture. But Genesis chapter 1 simply says, you know, and as you and I were talking about, let me just say this before I read that to kind of set the context for the scripture. You know, when people, a lot of times we misuse the word purpose, and we lump everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want for clarity's sake, people understand that there's a difference between my purpose.
Yes.
In life, and my part in life.
Okay.
And so we're going to talk about the purpose tonight, and not the part. But to clarify what the difference is, God has made it clear what my purpose is, what our purpose is, and we all have the same purpose.
Okay.
And see, this is something that the enemy don't want us to understand, because this is where the major divide takes place, and everything else falls apart. Then when you get a group of people thinking they all have different purposes, then there can't ever be unity. There can't ever, you know, be this oneness. So let's understand this, that every person and everything that our Father created has the same purpose. That is very important. Okay. And I'm going to explain that a little bit further on in teaching. So we need to settle that.
Yeah.
And so we're going to read what that purpose is.
Okay.
And this text applies to everybody. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make mankind." Mm-hmm. That's the proper interpretation.
Mankind.
Or translation is mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. See, he explains our person. He explains our purpose. And then in that text, you also see the next text, it talks about it being male and female. That speaks to our part. You see?
Yes.
The purpose of the male, the purpose of the female is one and the same. However, their part is different.
So good.
You see, the scripture tells us in the New Testament that we are members of a body.
Right.
You know, we are of many parts. parts, mm-hmm. many members.
Yes.
But the same body, one body.
Mm-hmm.
One body is the same as one purpose, because purpose is a body of many.
Mm-hmm.
So my human body has one purpose, but many parts.
It's good.
See, the purpose of my hand is the same as the purpose of my feet.
So good.
The difference is they have a different part. Because, watch this. Part deals with what's your function.
Mm-hmm.
How are you to function?
So good.
Purpose deal with what is it that you are to fulfill.
Mm.
See?
Yeah.
So he simplified our fulfillment. And then he, for lack of words, he gave us different functions, and here's why.
So good.
The reason you and I have different functions is number one, so no one can manipulate purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, function requires an individual relationship.
Mm. Yes.
See, though you got two hands,
yeah.
that ain't one relationship, that's two relationships, that's mm-hmm. a separate relationship. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, function is known by way of personal relationship.
Whoa.
So function requires you to have a personal relationship
with the Lord
in order to know. Scripture says it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things
mm-hmm.
concerning you
mm-hmm.
that the Father has what? But he said, but he revealed them to you by his Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Which means he wants you to come to him.
Wow.
You don't go to your pastor.
Wow.
You don't go to your bishop. You don't go to your pastor.
Wow.
You go to your Father,
wow.
the source.
Oh, hallelujah.
Reveals function.
Hallelujah.
But he'll tell your pastor purpose.
Yeah.
He gave me purpose.
Yeah.
But he won't necessarily give me your function. Why? Because that's based upon your relationship. Now, I can have enough intelligence, enough spirituality to discern
right.
your function. Why?
Uh-huh.
Because function is like a tree.
Mm-hmm.
You can always tell the tree by looking at the fruit.
So see? Good.
But if the tree ain't bearing fruit,
yes.
you just know it's a tree.
Yeah.
You see?
I love the way you're breaking it down.
And so as we find function,
mm-hmm.
then we'll start becoming more fruitful.
Wow.
See? But the root of a tree is purpose.
So let me stop you for just a second. Let me interject. Whenever people are saying, I just feel like I don't know my purpose, we always say that.
Uh-huh.
Is it really that we don't know our function? Or we also don't really know our purpose?
They don't know the purpose either.
Both.
And they think they're one and the same, and they're not.
That's
so
it.
You accurate that you don't know your purpose,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you don't know your functions. However, I just read to you what your purpose is. And I'm going to give it, let's give it in a practice. Now, the scripture says, the purpose of mankind
mm-hmm.
is to have dominion.
Mm-hmm.
And let's make that practical.
Please, because people are like,
let's
what?
Make that practical.
How'd I do that?
That's the purpose, because it says, again, let's read it again. He said, let us make man in our image, our likeness, and let them have dominion
mm-hmm.
over.
Mm-hmm.
So he explains why, how we're making them, and why we're making them.
Okay.
Because purpose is why?
Why?
To have dominion. What does that mean?
Right.
That simply means this. That simply means that God made mankind, that being male and female,
mm-hmm.
to be his sons and daughters.
Hallelujah.
See, his sons and daughters. To watch this. To expand and establish his kingdom of heaven in the earth. The new territory.
Come on.
It's just that simple.
Come on.
That my purpose is for me to expand and establish
mm-hmm.
the kingdom of heaven
mm-hmm.
in the earth, which is the new territory of heaven.
Wow.
As Jesus taught us to pray, the disciples, yes. as Jesus prayed, he said, here's how you pray. Our Father which art in heaven, mm-hmm. hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom mm-hmm. come. Thy will, that word will means original purpose. Your original purpose be done
mm-hmm.
on earth
mm-hmm.
as it is in heaven.
You know, you done told me this before. I'm going to have to keep hearing it.
Before,
You done told me this before, and I act like I hear it brand new every time. It's so good.
That's how fresh it is.
It's how fresh, and I have to hear it. We hear it over until we get it.
And it should be that way. And you should. We've got to hear it over. I promise you, most people have read this scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But we missed the key words.
The key words.
See, because it says, and for dominion. For means purpose. When you say you make something for this, that means here's the purpose. I made it. It's just that simple. You know, now again, you've got to look at the word dominion and break that out in a practical way of what does that mean. Mm-hmm. So it simply means this. Is that my existence is totally so the Father can rule earth through me. By way of Him a word, by way of relationship.
By way of relationship, which is your function.
Right. Wow. Not religion.
That part.
He do not rule by way of religion. He rule by way of relationship.
That's so freeing.
That's very important.
And it's very important.
So watch this. Religion is counter-purpose.
Wow. Come on, break that down.
Religion... counter-purpose, because religion is how man tries to relate to God.
Mm.
See? It's how man institute things, various things, to relate to God. Mm-hmm. And this is what the Old Testament, from Genesis 3 on to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, which means some of the New Testament included, was still a part of the Old Testament, even though it's called New Testament, in terms of the truth and revelation. And that is this. It shows that even with all the symbolism, all the religious activities, God gave man, showing man, that even with your religious effort, they're insufficient.
They're insufficient.
See?
Only
insufficient.
Christ.
So religion is man... reaching God. Trying to relate and understand and operate out of things as they understand things about God. However, purpose is simply about relationship. Purpose is not about what you do.
Come on.
It's about who you are.
Who you are.
And see, and when you become who you are, then it automatically fuels you. It automatically gives you what you need to be doing. You know, and it's not religious. It's rulership through relationship.
And there's a freedom in that.
Oh, tremendous freedom in that.
There's such a freedom in there. And I feel like for so many people, the reason their walk with the Lord, our walk with the Lord, people's walk with the Lord is so burdensome almost.
Yeah, yeah.
I always say a bound Christian is an oxymoron because we should be free. But that's why, because I feel like we talked about this earlier, like it's like, do this, do that, be in this. And we've never really realized who we are in Him, our function in Him, and our purpose.
Right.
And truly understanding our own personal.
Right.
We're trying to be everybody else.
Yeah.
We're trying to do what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And like you just said, your function comes out of personal relationship. So you've got to lay at the Father's feet. You've got to, you know, allow Him to show you.
Yes.
And like you said, not just receive it from however you, you know, Yeah.
You can't you can't learn and grow in purpose in any institution. Because watch this, purpose is born out of the heart of God. And so, if purpose is born out of the heart of God, the only way to function in it is by God's heart, and God's heart is by relationship. You see, and so. The scripture says this, Ecclesiastes says this, God has put purpose in the heart of men.
Okay.
And watch this. So he cannot know his way. See, you cannot know your way. Another translation used the word eternity. God has put eternity in the heart of man, so he cannot know his way, which means because purpose is your way. So without knowing and living according to that purpose, you can't know your way.
Yeah.
And so
frustration.
Right. So this is what religion is at the heart of religion. Religion is us trying to find our way and make our way to God.
That part.
You see? And which means that's the absence of purpose.
Wow.
Adam and Eve, when you go back and look at the text, that they lived out of purpose until they met their arch enemy and bought into that conversation.
Yes. Yes.
And watch this. And when they bought into that conversation, they no longer lived out of a relationship with God, which was birthed by way of purpose. Mm-hmm. They began to live out of religion, because what the first thing they did? They covered themselves. Mm-hmm. They began to do things that they wasn't doing. Why?
Ooh.
Trying to stay in the garden.
Wow.
But they had to leave the garden.
Uh-huh.
Because they had violated purpose. They had violated their personal relationship with the Creator, their Father, as sons. See, they're sons.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and so from that point,
mm-hmm.
man been trying to find his way back to that place.
Oh, yeah.
And in doing so, have created all of these ways and methods to reach God.
Come on.
And it's called religion.
Even in good Bible teaching churches.
Exactly.
Even in great churches that are trying.
Yeah.
We still do that. We got to do all these things to get to God.
Yes. And come up short. And see, and thinking that these are the things that pleases him
mm-hmm.
and appeases him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. There's one thing that pleases him.
Mm-hmm.
And that is faith.
Yes.
And watch this. He said, well, okay, you know, and faith in one sense is the same as purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because purpose is a reason for everything that he gives us.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be faith,
mm-hmm.
whether it be mercy, whether it be grace,
mm-hmm.
whether it be love, it all stems from purpose, because the only reason for our existence is the original purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so he made us to fulfill this purpose, which he established and finished.
Jesus.
As Isaiah 46:10 says, he finished it, you know, in the beginning. He finished the end in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So when God gets started, he's already finished.
Yeah.
All right. And so watch this. So having come together with this purpose, he creates mankind
mm-hmm.
with this purpose in mind. And so therefore, man's purpose, man's person, man's position, his plan for man, everything will be tied back to that one thing called original purpose, which is called his will.
Mm.
His will.
Mm.
You see, and so as simple as this, that to live my life according to the original purpose is simply to make up your mind
mm-hmm.
to say, I exist.
Mm-hmm.
I will operate consciously, yielding my life as God's son or daughter
mm-hmm.
to allow him to rule through my life by way of relationship.
Wow.
And this brings prayer in light, because that's what prayer serves.
Mm.
Prayer is that communication channel that was established on the basis of purpose. So prayer, watch this, is given to mankind on the basis of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But when we lost purpose, then everything attached to purpose became redefined. So prayer got redefined.
Wow.
To where man no longer used prayer for purpose. Man now used prayer for their problems.
To get stuff or to get things. Yeah.
See? So prayer in its original is not for us to tell God, to talk
yeah.
to God. Prayer in its original is for God to tell us and to talk to us.
Mm.
So prayer is where we go and listen, learn, and then go live. Say it again. Prayer is where we go listen, learn, and then go live.
Yeah.
If you do most of the talking in prayer, you ain't really praying.
See, it ain't that what we taught to do.
I know we taught that. You know, and we've got this. Watch this. Here's why this is so difficult. Simple, but yet so difficult to grasp. Because 75 generations later, this gets corrected.
Mm.
So there are 75 generations of history that has to be reversed.
Mm.
Spiritually and mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the time of Adam's fall
mm-hmm.
to Jesus coming,
mm-hmm.
75 generations.
Mm.
That this effort that man's been putting forth outside of purpose, trying to reach God.
Yeah.
And watch this. So Jesus come in one motion reverses all of that. This is why he said this. I come in the volume of the book. It's all about me.
Yes, from beginning to end.
Every generation, every scripture, every chapter, every word, every prophecy, every revelation, every promise.
Jesus, isn't it?
Was about mm-hmm. Christ. Watch this. Was about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said this in Matthew, let's see here. I got it written. Luke chapter 4, mm-hmm. verse 43. He says this. He says, for this purpose have I come.
Mm-hmm.
He says, to preach the gospel of the kingdom.
Okay.
Well, the gospel of the kingdom is the same word that God used in Genesis 1, 26, called dominion. Dominion and kingdom are the same Greek and Hebrew words.
Really?
So he gave Adam an assignment to Adam and Eve to expand and establish his kingdom. Uh-huh. That's called dominion. And it said, and let them, which means true kingdom cannot be done without both. Now that leads us to open up another can of worms, which we ain't going to get into, is that explains the purpose of relationships.
Okay.
The purpose of my relationship with God is the original purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Which means the purpose of any relationship thereafter is the same.
Yes.
The purpose of my friendships.
Marriage.
The purpose of my marriage. The purpose of any relationship in the earth has the same purpose that your relationship with God has. And if you don't operate like that, then God don't support that relationship.
Whoa. How do you? Okay.
That's how two unbelievers can be unequally yoked. Because most people think, well, if we both say we're equally yoked, not necessarily
mean,
true.
You mean two believers?
Two believers, yeah.
Oh, two believers. Believers. Yeah.
Did I say unbelievers?
You said unbelievers.
Okay, okay. I was thinking about that. Two believers can be unequally yoked.
Huh. And people automatically think it because if you're both saved.
We both saved, we're equally yoked. No. Equally yoked means more than that. Because you got to understand, it's like equally yoked. The word yoke. Jesus, come unto me. My yoke is easy. When you yoke two animals together,
mm-hmm.
they have to have the same purpose.
They carry the burden together, too. Mm-hmm.
If they have two purposes, mm-hmm. then they're pulling against each other.
Yeah.
So the word yoke has to do with you have to already settle on the same purpose.
Wow.
So if I settle in on purpose and my person I'm married have not, we are unequally yoked.
Oh my goodness.
Though we both saved. Now that just throw that out there. Y'all can talk to me about that on Thursday night. I'll talk more about that on Thursday night. My wife and I in a relationship. You know, and
yeah.
because the point of that is this. This is how important the original purpose is, because it's the center of everything concerning man.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this is so important and to know what it is, because if my life is not central to establishing and expanding the kingdom of heaven mm-hmm. in the earth,
mm-hmm.
then first and foremost, I'm not fulfilling the reason I exist.
Mm-hmm.
Because the original purpose, again, is not about religion.
It's not.
It's about relationship. So that's why being saved is not a religious act.
Wow.
Being saved is a restoration of original relationship.
Oh, wow. The original intent.
So when I talk to people about being saved, the first thing I tell them, I don't have religion to offer you.
Mm.
I want to offer you a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I want to offer you a relationship with your source of life. I want to offer you a relationship with the original you.
Wow.
I want to offer you a relationship with the original life that God intended for you.
Mm.
Now, who don't want
that? Who don't want that?
See? But if I offer you religion,
yeah.
then I've got to do there's a whole lot of other stuff. I don't have religion to offer you.
Yeah.
I've got a relationship. Why? Because I'm living my life out of a relationship, not a religion.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell people, when you become a man or woman of purpose, you're no longer religious. So it's no longer so much about what you do. Now it's about who you are.
Yes. so good.
See? And then when you become clear on who you are, it makes very clear what you to do and who you to do it with.
Or not.
Because that's what purpose does. Because purpose, original purpose, clarifies your original person. Mm. And watch this. It also explains your original personality.
I was just going to say, do you think that's why we're frustrated? Because we got too many hands in the pot trying to be, have 50, you know, we're trying to do everything else but walk in our own original purpose.
Exactly.
I feel like that's why people are so frustrated, because you're trying to do this. You're trying to be the best prayer. You're trying to be the intercessor. You want to be a prophet. You want to be
a bank teller,
you know, whatever.
This is why not knowing purpose is so important to the devil and the demons. Why? Because when you don't know that, then they can introduce to you multiple personalities.
Wow.
So mental defects, please hear me, mental defects are traced back to the lack of purpose. Because our personality comes from our purpose. Because watch this. The scripture says this. It says he's called us in Ephesians 1, it says he's called us as he's purposed in himself.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That means God's purpose for me came out of him.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if God's purpose for me came out of him, then that means the purpose of God for me comes out of who God is personally.
Mm-hmm.
So that means my person is attached to purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And personality is an expression of your person, which goes back to your purpose. That's why this is so very important.
It is.
Because not only is it about spirituality, it's about our mentality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See? When it talks about, you know, the mind of Christ and having a certain mind. So that's what leads me to this. This is why Paul said this in Romans chapter 12 about the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's talking about the mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And he connects the mentality to purpose.
Mm-hmm.
May I read it?
Yes, please.
Let's read it.
I love it.
And so now we're going to explain how do we apply this practically and daily.
Come on.
You got to understand Romans chapter 12.
Okay.
So we're going to look at it afresh.
So good.
Most people know it, but we go too fast
and
we miss key words. And so we're going to slow it down a little bit and look at the key words.
Okay.
Because watch this. He says, verse number 1, he says, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. See, this is the first piece to a life of purpose, because remember, the scripture says Jesus was a living sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
A living sacrifice is one who submit to a greater purpose.
Wow.
See?
Yeah.
If you took something, a ham or whatever you took, and you want to put it on an altar as a sacrifice, that means you've established a purpose. And then you've got this physical thing in representation of that purpose you've established.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to sacrifice this to achieve this.
Mm-hmm.
So to be a living sacrifice means this. It means to give up your life for the original purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says, a living sacrifice. Jesus was a living sacrifice. It didn't say he sacrificed. It says he was a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a sacrifice, that means that thing becomes sacred.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes consecrated.
Mm-hmm.
And these words, dedicated, consecrated, and sacred, simply means purpose. These are different words to say the same thing. So when I say I'm consecrating myself, see, most people think religion.
Yeah.
Because we've religiousized
consecration. Oh, yeah.
No, when I'm consecrating myself, that means I'm yielding myself, dedicating myself for a greater purpose.
Wow.
And so true consecration True dedication, true sacrifice,
submission
is submission.
Not to my will, a greater but thine purpose. Be done.
There you go.
Not my will, but yours be done. For real.
Right. That's the mindset of a purpose.
Christ.
So the first thing Paul says got to be done is you got to present your
body.
You know why? Because the body became, watch this, the body became man's enemy to his purpose by way of sin. Mm-hmm. Sin was about purpose. Mm-hmm. See? Sin was to separate man from his original purpose. Mm-hmm. Because man disobeyed the original instructions that was given concerning the original purpose. So when we disobeyed the instructions, mm-hmm. we disobeyed purpose. Now the Proverbs chapter 19 verse 20 says this. It says, hear purpose mm-hmm. and receive instructions. You see, When God gives me an instruction, it's always connected to purpose.
Always.
Proverbs 19, verse 20. That's what it says. It says, hear purpose and receive instructions.
Mm-hmm. Give me just...
Yes.
I just want to make sure I said this right. Somebody asked in the chat box, and the original purpose is dominion, correct?
The original purpose is dominion.
I said yes. I just wanted to make sure.
And in practical, it simply means a life yielded.
Thank you.
Watch this. So God can rule through your life through relationship.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
As simple as that you allow God to rule through your life by way of relationship, and that being in every area of your life. Mm. See, so I have to look at my finances.
Mm.
I have to look at my health. I have to look at my career. I have to look at every part of my life and say, how can God rule through me in this area?
Mm.
See,
we don't think like that.
No, we don't think like that. That's why we got to do Romans 12, because Romans 12 deals with, we got to change how we think.
Presenting our bodies.
So the first thing you do, present your bodies. Why? Because your thinking has been shaped by your flesh.
Come on.
So you cannot change your mind until you first give up this flesh. See, people want to change things about how they think, but it's still too dedicated to their bodies.
Come on.
See?
Jesus.
You got to start seeing this body. Now this body... You have to see it as a temple.
Mm-hmm.
See, and you got to submit it, keep it on the altar every day.
Mm.
Now that gives you clarity about fasting.
Yep.
See, fasting ain't you strong arming God.
Mm-hmm.
Fasting is when you strong arm your flesh.
When I tell you, Pastor, because that flesh wants to.
Yeah.
The nature. Yeah. I see why he says the flesh is enmity against God.
Yes.
Because it has its own nature. It wants to do what it wants to do.
And watch this. Galatians 5 says it like this. It says the spirit and the flesh are contrary one to another,
yes,
to keep you from doing what you should be doing. And what you should be doing? Genesis 1:26, fulfilling purpose, having dominion.
Purpose.
But watch this. Sin. Watch this. Sin. Flip dominion.
Mm.
Because did you not know that sin is simply dominion in its opposite?
Wow.
See? What I mean by that is this. When man yielded to sin, he gave up dominion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now he was underneath dominion.
Mm.
And Paul said it like this. He said, I will not have sin having dominion
over me.
Mm-hmm. Because sin, but when man accepted it, man lost his dominion,
mm-hmm.
and then sin took dominion over man mentally, spiritually, and physically.
Mm-hmm.
This is why Jesus had to defeat sin. Yeah.
Which is why it's so powerful what he did.
Yes.
I don't think we really understand that.
Exactly. Because Jesus reversed
all of that. What we gave
dominion.
Away and gave See? It back to us.
And so sin means we the dominion that God gave us,
mm-mm-mm.
sin simply means this. The dominion that God gave us, we gave it to Lucifer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when he tempted Jesus in Luke 4, he said this.
Yeah.
He said, Jesus, if you will bow down,
I give you all this dominion. Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, boy, you just don't know. I'm getting ready to take this.
Yeah. I love it.
I'm getting ready to take this. Why? Because every time Jesus responded to the devil in the temptation, he always said it like this. It is written.
It is written.
It is written. So in other words, Jesus said, I came on the basis of a written legal agreement that heaven has with earth. And by way of written legal agreement, I'm going to take this back and restore this. Why? Because you are not the original landlord. I am. See? This is why Jesus so called the second and the last Adam.
Adam. Yeah.
Why? He's going to restore what the first Adam failed to do.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
And so that means we've got to understand this in a practical way.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time to do that because a lot of pieces to it. So we given a lot in just bits and pieces.
A little amount of time, yeah.
And so this is the understanding we've got to start. And the understanding starts with understanding Romans 12, mm-hmm. that I've got to present my bodies. And then watch this. He says, as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Reasonable. That's not advanced. That's elementary. That's basic. That's fundamental.
Fundamental.
Fundamental. Okay. Why? Number two, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you cannot begin the transformation of the mind until there's a presentation of the body.
Come on.
I'm going to say it again. There cannot be a transformation of the mind until there's a daily presentation of the body.
Daily presentation of the body.
Because Ephesians chapter 1 says it like this. Chapter 2 actually says it like this. He says, before Christ, mm-hmm. he says to the church at Ephesus, before you were in Christ, your flesh mm-hmm. controlled your mind.
Right. Yes.
But now that we're in Christ,
mm-hmm.
see, now it's you're supposed to be dead to sin. See, he took that away.
Right.
But then you've got to practice on a daily basis the truth. See, and the only way you can do that is, Angela, is we got to get some understanding.
Mm-hmm.
See,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because without that understanding mm-hmm. of what happened and what needs to happen, then you always will be struggling with, what's my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? What am I doing? Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to always be struggling with this flesh. You know why?
Yeah.
Because you don't understand the power that the flesh don't have.
Oh, you know, I was about to say has.
See, that's a whole other way of thinking. See, the flesh has no power.
Come on, we give it.
Because if the flesh has power, then Jesus lied.
Yes.
He said, I got all power.
All power and authority.
And then watch this. He gave it to
gave
us.
Gave it to us, yes.
By way of salvation. See, there's two parts of salvation. We've only mastered one by way of subject,
mm-hmm.
and that is, the first part of salvation is deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of salvation is freedom.
Mm.
They're two different things.
Two different things.
See, and we've mastered deliverance, mm-hmm. but we fail tremendously when it comes to freedom, because they're not the same.
I say it all the time, bound Christians.
Here's the difference. Here's how they look. Deliverance is when you get me out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom is when you get Egypt out of me.
Yes.
See?
So good.
We've heard it.
Yeah.
I'm out the ghetto, but you ain't got the ghetto
out of you.
So you still ghetto fabulous. See, that's freedom.
Yes, yes.
Another way of saying it, yes, they shut the plantation down.
Uh-huh.
But you're still thinking and living like a slave.
Like a slave, yes.
Which means we got to get it out of you. See, God could get the people from the control of the oppressor,
mm-hmm.
the oppressor rather.
Mm-hmm.
But what he couldn't do is get the oppression out of them. Because to free you of the oppression, it takes your participation. So you save, but you ain't free.
Yeah. Why do we think it's so hard?
Well, because we relish and we worship our sins. We worship we worship the things that don't work for us.
We do.
We worship. I always say it like this: we've got to offer altars of comfort.
That's what I was about to say. Is that we are so comfortable. I realize that with me.
Yeah.
You know, anytime when I'm fast, I notice, I'm like, God, I am so comfortable just doing it the way I want to do it.
Yeah.
So that's an idol. Me.
Exactly.
And, that's what sin brought. Body.
That's what sin brought to us. And watch this. 75 generations plus of living with this sin, and we got comfortable with that. Jesus said it like this in one of his parables. He said, when you introduce new wine to old wine head, they won't drink immediately. You know why? He said, because they so used to the old wine, even though it's no longer intoxicating. So he said, you don't take new wine and put it in an old wineskin. So you got to make a new wineskin first. Then you put the new wine in. And the wineskin deals with the mind. You've got to renew the mind before you put in new information. So let me tell you, let me introduce something to you. Yeah, let me introduce something to you. That means this. Let me read this and let me tell you what it means.
Please do.
It says, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect original purpose of God. It says will of God, but that word will is God's original purpose, his original intent. He said that you may bring forth, watch this, evidence that you may test things, examine things to see if this is of God's original purpose. You test people. Do they come on the basis of God's original purpose for my life? See, we don't like to test things.
We don't.
We want to believe that it is.
We're just because, lazy. We don't you know, wanna, whatever. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
So watch what he was saying in this. So what he said, he says, so be not conformed so you can be transformed. What he was telling is conform. He said, be not conformed. The word conform is compound word, con. Con means, it means the opinions, the position, the arguments of another. He said, no longer live by the opinions, the argument, or the mental positions of another. Because the world is all about the opinion of a, think about it, our economy. All it takes for a certain people to change their mind and the economy goes down. Because the world system is based upon the opinions of men. The kingdom system is built upon God's mind. Not mine and not yours. That's the difference. So he says, in order to live this thing called purpose and in the kingdom, you've got to get a different mind. And it's called transformation. So here's the key word. And here's the key word.
I'm listening. I'm writing notes.
To not be conformed, there are some things you've got to start unbelieving. Unbelieving. Un means
don't
no longer connected. Un means to remove the connection. Did you not know that you can't believe until you unbelieve first? See, we try to see, I can't get people to believe this about purpose until I get them to unbelieve the opposite.
All that, all the stuff that's garbling and religious and in our mind, all the things we've been taught. Yes.
So I've done a teaching on how to unbelieve.
Can you come back and do that?
See? Because people are, I'm a believer. What does that mean?
Oh, true.
See, we think that's a title. No, that's a description of your mindset. So the question is, are you really a believer?
Man, these are the kind of conversations I have with myself.
Yeah.
Am I really a believer? Yeah. Do I really believe this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
And what we do is we want to believe. But here's the truth about all of us in some way or another. Is what Thomas said. Lord, I believe.
But help my unbelief.
But help me with this unbelieving.
Yes.
Now, see, people take that and say, oh, he was telling Jesus to help him with his doubt. That's not what he was saying to Jesus. He was saying, Jesus, I'm having a hard time unbelieving this lie
that I've been
while I'm trying to believe this truth.
Come on.
I need your help.
Oh, God. I need your help. See? And if he won't help us, he will. He's a good father.
But watch this. So that was a great statement. And preachers preach it as negative, and it's not. No. That's a positive. Why? Because that's a man that's saying, you know what? I want to believe, but I'm being honest. The reason I'm having a hard time believing because I don't know how to unbelieve over here. See, you've got to be taught to unbelieve just like you got to be taught to believe.
Wow.
So before I teach people to believe something, I first teach them what they must unbelieve. Because here's what happens when you teach people to believe something and they have an unbelief. Mm-hmm. They put belief on top of
it. That's what I was going to say. It's just a layer. It's just another layer.
So now you don't put stuff on top of your baggage.
Yeah.
Same thing you do in a relationship.
Yeah.
See, until you get unconnected where you came from,
ooh,
don't connect. Now, I know that was messing with somebody's Kool-Aid. I know that.
So
you know.
Good.
But that's how that works.
That's how it works.
You see, and so I was just telling the brother the other day, I said, listen, you got to get unconnected emotionally from this relationship that just failed. You got to get unconnected. See, physically you unconnected, but not mentally.
Mm.
And to get unconnected, somebody got to walk you through that.
Yeah.
Listen to me very careful. Time does not disconnect you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somebody say, well, okay,
just give it time.
Give it time. Give it 10 years. No, you can be 10 years and still connected.
Still connected.
Mm-hmm. If somebody didn't walk you through a process of disconnect, you still connected.
Wow.
Another word for that is called soul tie.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
And I had to learn this. So I don't connect to something until I disconnect from the opposite.
Wow.
You know why? Because if I connect to something, to one thing, and I'm still connected to the opposite, I've created an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Totally. I've created confusion.
Confusion.
I've divided myself.
Totally.
See? Which means I can't give the full that I need to give to what I say I'm the new thing I'm connected to.
And that right there. And that's why so many of us are like, I feel like our walks, we feel like we're lackluster. It's not the fulfilling, the joy, and all that kind of stuff is gone. Because, like you just said, have we disconnected to the what do we do with the time we have left? Mm-hmm. One of the things that I love you said, and you're so encouraging, we were talking before, and you were like, Angela, this is a journey.
Yeah.
It's not going to be overnight.
Oh, no.
You've got to unlearn. You've got to, you know, learn God's ways anew and everything. And a lot of times, you know, we're told we're okay and where we've arrived, and maybe you're in ministry. There's still some learning we have to do.
Always.
Always. And there's some, like you said, some disconnecting and some things we've been taught. And so I've been in several churches where some things were taught that was just out of order.
Right.
And I'm still having to unlearn some things.
Yes.
For someone that's listening and they're like, okay, I want to start this journey of understanding purpose, what would you say to them?
I would say this. You know, the Bible says, with all thy getting, get an understanding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get an understanding of what the original purpose is.
Yeah.
Go back to the basic. That's what I did, Angela. I went back to Genesis chapter 1, and I just stayed there.
I'm typing notes. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I just stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
Let that thing get in my spirit. See,
because
the life of God is in the Word of God.
Yes.
And so the more I read a scripture, the more of the life that's in that scripture gets in me.
Mm.
I kept it simple. See, I didn't go buy a bunch of books.
Come on.
I went back to the book. I went back to Genesis chapter 1. Okay. Stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the New Testament, I only read what was in red.
I'm telling you, that's where I've been.
Watch this.
Say what you said.
Jesus. Yeah. Because what did I say?
You said when you read the red parts, all the black parts out of that.
Yes.
That makes sense. But you said we focus on the black parts.
Yeah.
And that's where the confusion. We trying to do all this old stuff.
Yeah. See, what's in red is few, but it makes
just the most
the
black.
What's in black real
all
simple
makes sense.
And real clear. But people want to become master teachers and theologians of the black, but they don't master what in the red, because the red highlights Jesus' life.
Jesus.
This is why. This is why, Angela, the Lord showed me that this is why from the time that Jesus got here, he was already King of Kings.
Yes.
He was already Emmanuel.
Yes.
He was already God in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that for 30 years he incognito?
Wow.
Teaching us this kingdom thing is a journey.
Mm. Thank you, God.
See, because Jesus wanted to represent everything that we're going to have to do.
Yes. He's our example. Yes.
So watch this. You've got to practice longer than you perform.
Isn't it just the opposite? Don't we get thrown up with a mic and we ain't even ready?
Yeah, no.
Oh, man.
You've got to practice before you perform. Here's why. Woo. Because how you manage your time determines when it's your turn. Jesus' time of 30 years brought him to his turn of three. And he did more in three than we do in 30. Why? Because the Father prepped him for the performance of the kingdom of a lifetime.
Wow.
Our lives are the same way.
Wow.
See? As I said to you, he don't require perfection. He requires purity. It means stay honest about where you are.
So good.
I'm not there. That's all he wants. Oh, God. See, because the scripture says this. It's not he who have sin that don't prosper. Mm-hmm. It's he who hides sin that don't prosper. Mm-hmm.
Ooh-hoo.
See, he don't expect you to get rid of sin out of your life.
Yeah.
He expects you to take a different attitude about sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good.
The fear of God simply means to hate sin.
Oh, and on that note, golly, I wish we could keep going. I could do 2 hours with you.
All right.
Easily. I could. You're so funny. All right. Thank you again.
My pleasure.
Thank you again. I think next time when you come, I want to talk about unbelieving.
Oh, let me
do the process of unbelieving some stuff so that we can get to the right way of believing. Yeah. So that's going to be our next.
Let's do it.
Next time you come. I appreciate it. Thank you again. Tune in next week, same time, same place.
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, for teaching us about purpose. What an awesome, awesome show. If you want to give to Focus with Angela Duncan to help keep us on the air, go to fbrn.us, find the Focus with Angela Duncan page, and you can donate. Scroll to the bottom. Have a good week. We'll see you next week.